This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of The Big Show. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday. Pre-2008 songs, patriotic, USA, all that, in honor of the vote yesterday. So take that. I see you bobbing your head to my first song, Bruce Springsteen. At least it's a recognizable song.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know Hulk Hogan wasn't recognizable.
Yes, you're going to that card too much. Your entire list. Are you going to post a list, Nick? Because if we post Cody's list, oh, man.
You're afraid that if the list gets posted, I'm going to win.
Let me tell you
one
thing.
See, I wasn't going to post it.
Let me tell you something right now. You can post them and you can vote. Because here's the thing. Nick's going to win.
Nick's non-existent list?
I have come to the conclusion that I don't want to spend any time anymore on these lists because Nick and his bots, Nick covers the Rockets enough. Daryl Morey taught him how to set up the bots.
I've got two songs on my list.
You can play,
I take time on my list.
You can play
so.
Them both and nothing else the rest of hour number three and you will win.
You keep accusing me of these bots. I'm not that technically savvy. That would be Barry. Barry's the IT guy.
Which is true. Barry is
be the
IT
one
guy. Correct.
To set up bots. I'm the honest person. I wouldn't do something. I would
all,
never cheat like
you
that.
You may not be the technically savvy, but the honest person would be, I don't know if I'm going that far.
So are we putting up a list or
sure,
we not?
Sure, put
okay.
it up.
Cool.
Why not?
All right.
You know what's funny, by the way, is that Knuckles, who is one of our involuntary critics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, because we didn't volunteer to have him be one, but he definitely is one anyway. But he had texted me or he had tweeted me about the Saints. And he basically said, there's no way Breeze, Peyton, or Cam Jordan is going to let Daz Ryan break up the locker room. He to the end of the season. Here today, gone tomorrow. Who dat? And he's a Saints fan. Cool, right? So I just busted his chops and said, who is this Daz Ryan you speak of? And he got all sensitive and he was like, hey, man, you know autocorrect. You know, listen, this is the same way I feel and Barry feels and Nick feels when the critic that we didn't ask for decides to start sending stuff our way sometimes. You know, it what goes around comes around.
Autocorrect, don't press send. You got a
good point, too.
You got to press send after autocorrect happens. Mm-hmm.
But when you think you have it right, you hit send too quickly. That's happened to me. It's happened to the best of us. Autocorrect sucks. But I think you got to, like, for us, being in the industry that we are and using social media as much as we do, you know, we obviously have to review everything that we publish, but...
Right.
We do?
You should.
I just hit send.
You just hit public? Oh, you just, but, I mean, you got
to
review it, but I can see it in
map, buddy.
And a text message I get.
By the way, Nick, you got kudos on the text line for the Kid Rock song, so
that's
there you
Cody's
go.
Cody's song.
The bots are working in mysterious ways. Now they're texting the show to let you know you're picking songs the best of Cody's lists. That's why you win, Nick. You're
that's,
just a winner.
That's Troy. Troy just didn't know it was Cody's song.
Does man. Everybody think... Does,
you
does,
know that number?
Do people think that Nick pulls all the songs and they just think that, like, oh, okay, I like that song in hour one, hour two, and hour three. Nick did a really good job.
There's
maybe.
Lot.
Maybe that's what it is.
Nick gets a lot of love. Although L.U. Dillon kind of tries to balance it out. But other than that, yeah, no, Nick gets a lot of love around here. There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, some of these texts are ridiculous, too. But... we'll continue to roll on. Anything strike your fancy, Nicholas, in the way of NBA? Rockets, you were at practice today. Anything jump out and grab you in terms of what D'Antoni had to say or the fact that they think they're pulling it together? I know that Bezdelic has not yet joined the team.
No.
They said later
okay,
this month.
So defense Jesus wasn't there yet.
That's a good call. I like that, defense Jesus.
He was not there. Nope. Okay. It was a regular practice and you know, just the shoot around, really. Carmelo spoke a little bit. Ennis spoke a little bit, and he was talking about, you know, the improvements he needs to make on defense, especially with, you know, either fighting through screens or trying to go behind them and stuff like that, and what he needs to improve. They all know that the defense is not where it needs to be.
You see me shaking my head? You know what? Can I ask, of all the things that you just said, what's wrong with this picture?
Sure.
Carmelo spoke again.
But he's going to speak almost
it
every
should
time.
Be. I want to hear from the Beard and CP3. I want to hear from the leaders of this team. I am tired of hearing from Carmelo Anthony until he began. Now, look, and he hasn't played bad, but he's just not those two guys to come in here and have the whole everybody in the media and everybody. You know, how are you feeling? Are you okay emotionally? Is this
starting to click? Is the mental strain too much?
Stop
still?
It! I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of it all. And it behooves me to ask the question. We talked the other night about Jamal Murray, a guy that I've told you can shoot. He had 48 the other night, shooting for 51 at the buzzer in a blowout win over the Celtics, or a game that was completely in hand. And Kyrie Irving had a big problem with him trying to get the 50 spot and threw the ball in the stands and got fined $25,000 and is still upset about it. So last night, the Milwaukee Bucks were playing in Portland. And if the Bucks won, it would have set a new precedence for three teams, 9-1 or better, and the way the certain teams are getting off to starts. And the Bucks are playing good basketball. But the Blazers beat them fairly handily. CJ McCollum had 40. He had 37, and with the clock running out in a game that was in hand, he not only took but made the three that gave him 40.
Mm.
Did not see anyone have a problem with it. Did not see anybody throw the ball in the stands. And you guys, need I remind you, and we it came up yesterday on the show, remember how the Blazers had a problem with Chris Paul making a layup late in a game that was already in hand? Yet the Blazers are, and one of the two guys that had a problem with it that bitch about the Rockets all the time, well, they made their three and they didn't want any, they didn't have it, but shouldn't they have had someone in their grill saying that's a disrespectful thing too?
There's no less tough thing than getting mad about a late score when the game's already out. I will forever, I mean, this goes for every sport, everything. If you don't like it, stop it. If you don't like it, stop it. You don't like folks dropping horns down on you, University of Texas?
Don't let them get the two-point conversion.
Don't give them a reason to drop horns down on you, okay? You don't like cats shooting threes at the end of the game or making layups? Don't let them make layups or shoot threes.
But I'm saying, and I totally get that, because we were talking about yesterday, the unwritten rules of baseball and basketball, they're old, inundated, get rid, stop, like Ken Griffey Jr. says in the commercial, just let the kids play, right? But if you're going to get mad at someone shooting the ball in a game that's in hand for 50, you should probably get mad if a guy's going to shoot one for 40, too, and then it's going to be league-wide, and then everybody's going to start fighting,
40
which might be more entertaining
cool.
Sometimes.
40 isn't even that cool. 50's nice.
It's a scoring league now. 40 is the...
It looks good on the stat sheet. You put sure. 40 down. It looks good on the stat sheet, especially if you're a player trying to prove himself. Now, McCollum is not that person.
Nope.
He's not. He's already proved what he can do in the NBA, but he still looks good on the stat sheet. If you get enough 40 spots on your stat sheet, teams are going to start looking at that.
And you know what? With the more developed analytics these days, too, there is a stat for 40-point games in a season, and it's relevant, and it comes up a lot when you're talking about all-star games and MVPs and certain, you know, awards at the end of the year. It always comes up because James had it come up last year. He had this many 50-point games. He had this many 40-point games. Those things matter. And Kyrie Irving's one of those guys that are in those discussions for a lot of those awards. Kyrie, of all people, should worry more about the earth being flat than he should be about a guy getting 50, because he's going to be a guy that I'm sure is going to be in that position at some point in one of these seasons.
I despise Kyrie Irving.
Why?
I just don't like anything about his demeanor.
Oh, so not his game, it's just personality, you mean?
He has the best handles in basketball.
The dude can ball. Like, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not one of these people who dislikes the player and then dislikes everything about him. Like, the guy can play basketball, and if he was on my team, I'd probably like him a little bit more than I like him now. I just think it's like his demeanor, the way he interacts with teammates, the way he talks, the way he's been portrayed in some of these conversations about how he ended up, where he is, and where he wants to be. And I'm just not a Kyrie guy. Like, the dude can play, obviously. Like, that's clear, and he shows that. He just comes off like a B sometimes.
Yeah, I can see that. And the whole thing.
It might be the LeBron effect. You never know. You know how LeBron got all that attention when he was in Cleveland? We talked about it a little bit before he made the move to Boston. You know, maybe he sees how LeBron was acting, and maybe he wants that. I don't know. I don't know Kyrie well enough. I do know he can ball, like you said, Cody.
Yeah.
He's a baller, without a doubt.
No doubt. I mean, I told you, I think he's obviously got the best handles in the entire game, let alone anything else, and he can play. So, yeah, that just struck me. And the other thing that struck me is we wrap up the NBA, but the Washington Wizards suck.
They're so bad.
They are ass bottom. Dwight Howard tried to shoot a face.
I was
Did you see
ask
it?
You. Yes.
Nick, they're in Dallas last night. No. Dwight Howard has a he tries to face up his defender and he's trying to hit the bank shot off the from the side wing. It hit the corner of the side of the basket and just beelined to like the top of the key. And he's chuckling. They lost by 19
to the Mavs.
I feel bad for Scott Brooks because he's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah.
But that is a mess.
Are there odds somewhere I can bet on that?
I'm telling there you right be. Now, for all those people in media, Nick, and we should tell Kelly Eco this because now he's the big-time athletic guy. He needs to get one of his cronies in L.A. to start asking Marcin Gortat about the state of the Wizards just because now that he's out of there, he'd be even more honest because I don't think John Wall is very liked. They were talking this morning about he or Bradley Beal has to go, and Wall can't because his contract's too big. There's plenty of people that'll take Bradley Beal. There's a lot of people that have a lot of reservations about John Wall, and he's making huge max money. So that was interesting. That was one thing that I noted.
The Mavs had lost, I think, four straight before that.
Yeah, Mavs are straight garbage, too, and they walloped the Wizards. There's too much talent on that team. Jeff Green leaving Oklahoma City and going there. There's just too much talent on that Wizards team to be sucking that bad.
It's a weird deal. That's that late January, early February jettison.
Yeah, they may just start clearing house like some of these NFL teams. They might be the John Gruden of the NBA this year. They might be Washington may be clearing house. So all right, we've got a little NBA out of the way and plenty more to get to. We've got college football to talk about. The NFL is coming up for this week and lots of things. If you've got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, hey, our phone lines are open unless your name is Ron. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line where you can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, hour number 2, 3-hour show. Fellas, Knuckles responded to me calling out the autocorrect because he knows there's no hard feelings, and he is very critical of us normally me. And he said, and I quote, autocorrect as a mother. But you knew that already. Is that like on Broadway or a play or a television show? I mean, what do we call it? The IT Follies with autocorrect as a mother.
Autocorrect as a mother.
I mean, you got yourself again, Knuckles. Come on, man. Screen before you send.
Unless he's trying to go like... No, I can't even give
you
him
can't.
That.
There's no way. You can't. No, it's not going to happen. Okay, so lots more to get to. Last night, the show that nobody saw, the Final Four for the week, has been announced again for college football. I have bitched about this in the past. I will bitch about it again. There is no way in hell that show should be an hour long. And there is no suspense in it. Because you know all four teams this week.
So they had it between the two games last night. And so they put it on, and they got the panel. First of all, I'm not going to tell anybody how to manage their multi-gazillion-dollar media company, but you don't need three analysts and Reese Davis if Reese is going to chime in with his own thoughts. Which, by the way, I love Reese Davis chiming in with his own thoughts. I think he's a great college football voice. But you don't need Reese and Herbie and Galloway and Pollock. And so then...
And you got two Buckeyes in the mix, too.
They're asking about Bama because now everybody thinks, and rightly so, that even if Bama loses in the SEC championship to Georgia, that they're still going to make the playoff. And so they were trying to just ask that same question in a bunch of different ways. And it got to the point where at one point David Pollock tried to say that if Georgia beat Bama, they wouldn't be in the college football playoffs. And I was just like, you got to stop the show. This show can't go anymore. Just announce the names.
Exactly.
Talk to the cat and then have Galloway and Herbie, or Herbie and Pollock, because you can't get, you can't go so far that you put Pollock in a pretzel where he's sitting there like, so if Georgia wins, they're not going to get in the championship. But no, they control their own destiny. It's like, guys,
first of all, we got to fix this. Pre-show meeting, maybe do some homework. Well, here's the other thing, and Barry and I go back and forth on this all the time, and both agree on the fact that no guy that played for the team that's playing in the game should be in the booth. So Aikman and Romo shouldn't be calling Cowboys games. Herb Street shouldn't be calling Ohio State games. But then, thank God, Ohio State is out right now, because you got two Buckeyes on the panel. And then you get what you just said. You got Pollock, who played at Georgia, trying to throw in, if Georgia upsets Alabama. You guys, shut the hell up.
But it was almost like he didn't want people to call him a homer, because he was like, well, I don't know if Georgia controls their own destiny. If they beat Alabama, you know. And then Herb Street's like, you think they wouldn't get in? And he's like yelling at Pollock. And Pollock was like, no.
Herb Street, I used to like. He's really gotten under my skin in the last couple of years. And I've seen him on Twitter just like attack people. And I'm like, bro, you're not that big, that cool of a dude, okay? I know that the college chicks for a while were like the O Herbie on the college game day thing too, but he's bought into that a little too much, because I've seen him undress some people that he doesn't need to be doing.
Right. I will say this about college game day. I thought Lee Corso was going to have to retire last year. Corso's like resurged.
Yeah,
like,
he's back. Yeah, he looked like he was already one foot in a wheelchair retired.
He's bringing it this year. Like the one he had this past week where he had the LSU fans in the palm of his hand. He's like, da da da, and then LSU, and they had him cheering. And then this, and LSU had him cheering. And then this, and LSU, and had him just like whipped up into a friends, and he put the damn elephant on. And they were just like, boom.
Yeah, he baited him, and then he got him.
Oh, it's great. It was great. Yeah,
it was fantastic. He also picked the NFL game for the first time.
Yeah.
And he had never done it with them, because if you don't know, when Lee Corso's on College Game Day, his big thing is of the game that they're at, he'll wear the mascot head of the team that he picks to win that game. So he put the elephant head on for Alabama, and then he put the Saints mascot helmet thing on.
Which is a creepy looking thing.
You know, New Orleans is kind of known for that. Because when I was doing Rockets games, Craig Ackerman had a real phobia of the King Cake Baby.
Oh, that's a go.
Because the King Cake Baby is creepy King as it Cake is. Babies. But then the Pelicans kind of did their own version of it as a mascot. And it like was making kids cry and Craig. And it really started affecting people to where they had to like mid-season get a new design on a mascot because it was that creeped out.
They have... I'll say this, though. I mean, this isn't necessarily New Orleans, but it's pretty close. Tulane's green wave, their angry wave.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's the best logo in sports.
Really?
It's literally a wave that has like a
scowl on it.
A grouchy face on it. So good.
Really?
So, and they're doing a terrible job marketing it, because you can't find gear with it anywhere. Like, I just want an angry wave hat. Can't find it anywhere.
We'll send Nick on this. This is a project for Nick. Nick, I need you to investigate the Angry Green Wave from Tulane. I need you to start with their head coach's daughter, and I need you to interview her to try and figure out what the hell is going on with the mascot.
See, you got to take it there? I'm
a
professional.
You get Lainey Fritz on the phone, and you get answers for us.
When I go and I cover these games, the Rockets, the Astros, I'm not looking at these women like that, all right? I just asked her.
Her dad's the head coach there.
No, I know where you're going with this, sir.
What's going on with the Angry Green Wave?
I'm not gonna ask. Why would
I? Is that what I did, Cody?
I feel like Nick's in the wrong on this one.
Thank you.
I feel like Joel drew you off sides there.
I don't think so.
I feel like Joel drew you off sides there.
I don't think so.
I think that's a legal procedure, Nick. I think that you jumped the gun. I'm just saying. I thought you should do investigation first. That's all I'm saying.
Anytime there's any discussion of Tulane, that television channel, she gets brought up. Every single time.
And you need to stop, because the fact of the matter is that you're a trained professional.
Absolutely.
I just want to let you know.
LSU at 7 just is, I mean.
That was a big discussion. Of all the things, because there was no suspense on the top four, but that was the biggest discussion. They got walloped by Alabama, and they maintained.
They can't score. They cannot score.
I thought that they actually had a quarterback, and they don't.
You get smoked at home. Look, Bama's going to smoke a lot of people. Okay, but you're going to sit here and tell me LSU is deserving of a number 7 rating and they get a goose egg at home? Like, I mean, A&M could score on Bama.
Like, you can't crap on Washington State. Granted, you know that Washington State's couldn't tie the shoes of Alabama, and they don't stand a chance against any of the top three teams in the country. But you know what? They're continuing to do what they're supposed to do. You know, they're winning football games, and no one saw it coming. And Oklahoma and Ohio State, by the way, should just that's about. I thought Ohio State was going to throttle Michigan. I think that they might get throttled.
Oh, Ohio State's going to make Michigan's quest to get in the Final Four real juicy.
Yeah.
Unless Harbaugh royally screws that up, Michigan's going to have a top-notch resume trying to get into that thing.
Yeah, it's
top-notch.
Everybody looks forward to that game. I don't think the Buckeyes are looking forward to it this year, because for as good as everybody thought they were going to be to start the year, and I don't think it was just Bosa deciding that he was going to prepare for the NFL draft, that was fool's gold, because, boy, they don't look... I mean, to be down 6 going into the fourth quarter against Nebraska, who's looked about as bad as any team in the country? Wow. That's a bad look.
If you're trying to pay attention to what the committee's maybe hinting at, you look at West Virginia at 9, even Oklahoma at 6, they've got to take care of each other. That's the final game for both of them in the regular season Big 12. And the winner of that's going to play in the Big 12 championship game. So the college football playoff is giving the Big 12 a chance to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
They need some help, though, because they're not getting in over undefeated Clemson or undefeated Bama or undefeated Notre Dame or Big Ten champ. So they need a little bit of help. But the Big 12, I thought they were eliminated weeks ago.
I did too.
They're back in this thing because
we're
West Virginia, where Oklahoma is. They're right there. I can't see Washington State getting there.
I can't either. That's what I'm saying. But for now, and we're talking about for now, the way they sit right now, based on their resume to date, Washington State should get some more love.
How good is freaking Mike Leach?
He's really, as an offensive mind.
Put him at some remote outpost in whatever state you want, and he'll find players.
And he'll play. And he'll also give you absolute soundbite gold every week on anything. This week, they're playing Colorado. He went off for 2 minutes on the mascot.
I really like that. Ralphie, then they run him on the field.
From Halloween and trick-or-treating, and you just give him a topic and get out of the way, he's gold.
He went for like 2.5 minutes on live mascots, and he was like, I don't know if a mountain lion would be a good live mascot to have. Oh, you think?
It's hilarious.
He is. He's absolutely fantastic. Some text messages coming in. Have you guys seen the Flyers' new mascot this season, Gritty? Yeah, he's another one that is getting a lot of scrutiny in terms of a very not child-friendly looking mascot.
How do adults decide what these mascots look like when the mascot's there to entertain the kiddos?
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, that's the thing.
Like
someone
Clutch,
in their organization,
kids gonna love a bear
until they find out who's inside and they hate his guts. But at the same time, when you look at like the organization, you have to have intelligent people at the top in the marketing side and elsewhere going, I'm sure that you have an artist that really believes he designed this unbelievable mascot for the team, but I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have to run out of Pampers to how many times my kid's going to crap his pants when he sees this thing, and not in a good way. We don't need that on the floor, on T-shirts, or at our charitable events. Someone's got to step in. Someone also tweeted in, by the way, Kirk Herbstreit bringing his kids on stage is annoying. We've heard that from several people. That
lets his kid pick on game day.
He brings him on, you know, because he's got that little setup in his house with all of his jerseys framed whenever they go to him during the week, so he doesn't have to be in Bristol. He's a self-promoter. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show, and of course, we want you to be a part of it. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us on Twitter. And by the way, we're going to have more Billy Gibbons tickets to give away, so you should be ready to call, and maybe you can win 2 tickets to see the lead singer of ZZ Top coming up this weekend. Plenty more to get to. It's Cody, it's Nick, it's Joel. It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, peeps? 90 in the books, 90 still to go on the big show. Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack, whether he's in El Paso, New Mexico, or destinations in between and unknown. We want safe travels and lots of laughs for Barry as he is out the rest of the week. Cody is in the rest of the week.
If he's going to New Mexico, he didn't ask me for spots to stop in Lubbock because it's on the way.
I don't think he cared that much.
Yeah.
Also, he was getting all kinds of information about alcohol being illegal in hotel rooms and all different kinds
of things. New Mexico is one of the weirdest states in the United States.
Yeah, he had a lot going on with that trip. Yeah. There was a lot more drama based on the fact that once he found that out, everybody was chiming in. Mark Villalobos, by the way, tweeted in a hat with the angry green wave. And literally the product states Tulane angry wave fitted hat.
That's like the only one though. They need to put that, like, that needs to be their main logo. Like, get rid of the T with the little wave at the top. Angry wave all day. Put it on everything. Put it on nice hats. Put it on, you know, other kinds of fitted hats, and I'm all about it. I'm going to budget myself. I think I could spend about $100 on angry wave stuff. It looks so good. I have no connection to Tulane whatsoever.
Nick, it's worth investigating. I just think we need the rest of the story. So do your thing. I expect to have answers. Speaking of answers, I've got answers for you if you're looking for something to do on this Friday and you want to head down to the Revention Music Center and catch a little Billy Gibbons. Who doesn't want to catch Billy Gibbons? Best known as the guitarist and lead vocalist from the Houston-owned ZZ Top Band. You want to see him live and in concert. He's got a band put together for the Big Bad Blues Tour. And it's going to be in town this Friday at November the 9th, right there in the downtown area. Tickets on sale at all Ticketmaster outlets. But because we like to give back to the usual suspects that are loyal to our show, I'm going to give you the opportunity to win two right now. A pair of tickets for Billy Gibbons for the November 9th show goes to you if you are caller number 14. Caller number 14, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 14, you get two tickets to see Billy Gibbons at the arena, formerly known as other things, now known as the Revention Music Center. That's good the spot. One down there next to the Hard Rock, right?
Good spot.
Used to be the Verizon Wireless Theater.
Believe so, yes.
Used to be a roller derby rink.
Man, did you ever watch roller derby back in the day when it was on TNN?
Well, you like wrestling, so it doesn't surprise me you'd like roller derby too. I would not waste, I mean, talk about time in my life I'd like to get back. If I actually watched roller derby, and I say this about the old Verizon Wireless Theater. Lisa came home one night and she goes, "Hey, babe, would you be open to going to roller derby?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not. Why?" She goes, "Well, they want me to be the master of ceremonies for the roller derby matches this weekend." I'm like, "There's roller derby in Houston? I understand if it would be like in Waco. But in Houston, Texas, there's roller derby." I go, "Where's it at?" And I'm thinking, it's got to be like some, you know, like the aerodrome. Only they got it jacked up with ramps and things like that.
Right.
She goes, "No, it's at the Verizon Wireless." What? So I was like, you know what? I'll go with. First of all, I felt like I had to protect her to go with her because Lord knows what the heck's going on. And so I go to do that and walk in, and it's like it's a cult following. The teams are very passionate. It was almost like a Comets game, the way every section in the lower level had their own theme and their own hair color and their old uniforms. There was no like, you know, like the velodrome for cycling where right. it's ramps all the way around. None of that. It was flat. But and there wasn't as much contact as I was hoping for. But lo and behold, there were people on skates skating around in circles.
I'm glad you dropped the C word, cult, because
yeah.
If you know a gal that does roller derby, she will try to recruit, when you're out and about, other gals to do roller derby. Like, "Oh, what do you do in your spare time?" "Oh, I do roller derby." "You should do roller derby. You'd be great at the blah, blah, blah position." And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm out with you. Don't talk about that. Like, I don't want people to know that you're like a...
Someone asked your girl to be a roller derby girl?
No, this was like a long time ago.
You sure?
Yeah.
You're just hiding it?
No.
Someone asked you to be a roller derby girl?
No.
You know where you... Okay, if that is the case, Cody...
Roller derby used to be huge in Lubbock.
May I make a suggestion for those that are looking to recruit roller derby girls? Sonic.
That's perfect!
Why wouldn't they go to Sonic,
That's
right?
Perfect!
Because they're not really on skates anymore.
They're not? I thought that was the prerequisite.
A lot of the locations that I go to,
they had to wear do the skates.
If you can find them, that'd be great.
I think that would be the natural place to recruit roller derby girls.
I'm not trying to blow your spot up when I ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you tip at Sonic?
I've never been to a Sonic, period. Nick knows that.
I do not.
If they're on skates, I do. If they're not on skates, like Nick has pointed out, I don't. But now Sonics have drive-thru, so I just drive through.
I don't go to Sonic that much, but the few times that I do go, I don't really
You've
see them on
You've never been to a Sonic. I'd love to tell you.
I've never been to a Sonic.
I'd love to just like list off a bunch of stuff that you have to get there. It's kind of a catch-all.
Exactly.
I enjoy the commercials with those two dudes, but I have never been to a Sonic.
I used to hate those commercials. Now I think they're hilarious.
They're actually very funny, yeah.
Very funny. Yeah. You know, those are all fan-submitted.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you can submit your commercial idea to Sonic, and if they like it, those two dudes will make it a commercial.
How about that?
All fan-submitted.
You learn something new every day, Nick.
The fast food of the people.
Nick knows that I don't do fast food.
Not working for free. You're not going to take my creative skills and just use them for free. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, think about that.
That's a good point.
Think about that on your resume, though. You got a writing cred for a commercial.
We were talking about that the other day because I still think, and obviously I have some bias on this, but I still think the Milwaukee Brewers MB logo that makes the mitt is one of the greatest logos in sports.
Oh, yes.
Do you realize that was a fan contest? And the guy that won it got like season tickets for a year. And then the team just soaked up every royalty for every bit of merchandise. And they're continuing to use
it. They took that cat for everything.
Screw job of all screw jobs. And I believe he's tried to sue several times. And just now he's probably like 80. But yeah, I remember because I love that logo. And my dad was a graphic artist on his spare time. And when he was in college and stuff. And he'd be like, oh, that dude just got taken to the cleaners.
Oh, you'd be surprised how many of your favorite brands took somebody to the cleaners on the way to the top.
Yeah, we love your creativity, but you're not going to love what we're going to do to you. I've told you this story before, too. My buddy that used to work for the Rockets, genius. He may or may not work for them now, too. He interned at ESPN. He created Trade Tracker, where everybody goes to see if a trade works or not.
Oh, no way.
But he did it while he was an intern.
They
owned it. They didn't pay him for it. Unreal. Yeah, be careful what you sign on a piece of paper when you are an intern. And if you're entering a contest for a logo.
Noted.
Hey, Nick, it's your guy, Ray Charles.
Well, now, wait a minute.
You like him. You're a fan.
Well, when I saw the movie, that's when I really started looking him up. Just because of the perseverance.
He wasn't looking at you. I'll tell you that.
See what I have to go through every single day.
It was right there. Come on.
List of all-time great blind musicians.
Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles.
Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even going to act like I knew Millsap or Millsap was blind, but...
You know, you probably would know his music because you've two-stepped.
I've seen Ronnie Millsap.
It's a possibility. He hadn't seen you. I knew that was coming. All right. Hey, we're going to continue to roll on with a big show. If you want to join us, like we hopefully are entertaining you, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can also hit us up via Twitter. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of making sure they take care of their customers. That means even if you're a possible or future customer and you call Infuse Energy, the greatest thing is right from the get-go, you're not going to get that automated system that only annoys you and you have to scream at the phone so that it can possibly understand what you're trying to say when you're answering the recorded questions. It's a pain in the rear end. Well, you're not going to get that when you call Infuse. You're going to get a human being. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because, quite simply, they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And so forth and so on until they get you the best rates and the best possible deal that they can. How do I know? Because they did it for me a little over a year ago, and they have saved me thousands of dollars, and I'm not kidding, thousands of dollars in just a little over 12 months' time in what I was paying with my previous energy company. And it's great because you get an email weekly with exactly what your bill is, what your spending was, where you used the most kilowatt hours, and what hours of the day you were using the most energy. It helps you understand and make changes so that you can have a reasonable and affordable rate at all times. Give them a call, 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. Or log on to infuseenergy.com. Mention ESPN 97.5 right off the top. You get a $25 bill credit and let it go from there because they are affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, hour number 2, 3-hour extravaganza. Cody Stutes, gracious enough to join us the rest of the week as Barry's off into the wild blue yonder, going west, young man, as he is doing some comedy that way. So, Cobody came our way. Stutes and Toots, Fart Sciarra in there, mixing it up today.
And the worst part is, if I was going to do one with your name in any way, shape, or form, it would just be a massive reach, so it doesn't even fit.
But I've heard them all before. Blank check, fill in the blank, drawing a blank, blank mind, stairs, blank man, blank stairs. Turn the page, give me something new. Otherwise, don't even try and do it. Thank you. We're looking at minor league. I love the fact that I'm a big logo guy. I used to design logos in my spare time in college to make extra coin for businesses just because it was better than working at the mall or the grocery store trying to find a part-time job. But that's why I love minor league baseball so much. Their uniforms and the fact they can do whatever they want, like when the Fresno Grizzlies have the Fresno tacos a couple times a year.
Greatness.
Yeah, Jeff Blum comes on our show, and Blummer just said, I got to get that hat. It's just badass. There's a lot of awesome minor league logos out
there. R.I.P. the Grizzlies, though.
Yeah, no longer Astros affiliate. They're still alive.
Yeah, but R.I.P., they don't exist in my world now.
I forget who... the Dodgers or somebody picked him up.
That actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, because it's real close.
Yeah.
As opposed to sending a guy to Fresno and you need him the next day, travel plans might be a little bit for the Astros tougher. Now they've done it the right way as they've kept it in state. Barrett, you want to get in here? You want to talk about showing some love for some logo? What's up?
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I usually don't tune in till the Blitz, but I had a little free time and they saw us early. I wanted to just throw y'all some love for showing respect to the logo game. I like that you have some roots in that, and it's weird. I'm a sports guy. I was actually in the booth on the Dante Hall show about 3 years ago talking about logos and stuff like that with an old coach of mine. So I'm a former athlete, college athlete, played ball at McNeese State. But also on the logo point, that stuff happens so often. The Ravens, it was a janitor who came up with their initial logo. I think he played hell trying to do the same thing you explained about whoever came up with the other logo. And so that kind of stuff happens all the time. There's some good ones out there, some bad ones. I like the retro stuff, like how it's coming back.
Yep.
It seems to re-energize a lot of guys. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to weigh in on that. And back when I was on the show, on the Dante Hall show, it was the time where everybody was making their own brand. And it kind of put me in a bad spot. I didn't need to have to comment on JJ's, but I did. I surpassed that, and I just gave the credit where it was due. Von Miller had the best personal logo at the time. So did Roger Federer at the same time, too. So it was the time of when your brand is you.
Did Cody Stutes have a brand back then, or was it the Dante Hall show?
I think it was the Dante. Well, I was on the Dante Hall show, because of the show that we were talking about. It was about logos, and then it was also on a former player, teammate of mine, his coach from the Ravens, was on there. Frank Gantz Jr. Shout out to Frank Gantz. Frank Gantz Sports. Coach Gantz, what's up? Also, check out Barrett.myportfolio.com. All right, sorry about the plug.
Yeah, Barrett, self-plugs are not going to get you a lot of airtime here. But, no, we appreciate, brother, you calling in. It is a lot of fun. I've collected hats and logos that I've really liked all my life. And I'm driving my wife nuts in the fact that I don't get rid of them. So I even have logos from the old Hawaii Fall League baseball. There's some great ones from there. I told people on the show a while back, and they actually brought it back, and I obviously had nothing to do with me, but the Quad City River Bandits, who are also an Astros affiliate, they used to have a baseball with a bandit handkerchief over its face and a hat on, and they quit making it, and I was looking all over, and they brought it back late in the year, and El Jefe, one of our listeners, found it for me. I bought it, but I love all the minor league baseball logos and the hats and all that stuff. Nick knows that. I have a plethora of hats that my wife despises that I'll live in my garage.
And shoes. You have a a massive surplus of that kind of stuff.
Most of the shoes, though, because of the storage issue and the fact that the bottoms are falling off of them, you've seen I've had to get rid of a lot of them, but yeah.
A quick Google for you. The Montgomery Biscuits, their logo is fantastic.
That's a good one.
The Savannah Bananas.
I'm sure you're a personal fan. Nick, you seen Cody? No, he's got the Savannah Banana in hand. Oh, I mean the logo. Okay. Anybody else? The Cucamonga Rancho Cucamonga Quakes? Is that what happens after the Savannah Banana?
Biloxi Shuckers.
After you get a Rancho Cucamonga Quake on the Savannah Banana, your biscuits are hooked.
Your biscuits get
by the Corpus Christi hooks. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Two of the books, 1 hour still to go, the big show. We're going to have the Sports Mappers join us next, and we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. It's Cody Stutz in for Barry Laminack. It's Nick and Joel. It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.